It's not often that pastors can say that they remember the exact Sunday when a visitor started coming to a church. But with Caitlin Billings Sullivan, Kate and I can actually remember the precise Sunday that she first stepped into this meeting house. It was when we began a tradition which continues called Justice Celebration Sunday. And after the regular Sunday service, we had planned a lunch with some workshops on some contemporary justice issues. Well, Caitlin, on her very first Sunday here, just visiting with us, having been raised and nurtured in a United Church of Christ congregation in East Woodstock, wanted to be a part of this special event. So she stayed and fully participated in our very first Justice Celebration Sunday. Such is the commitment of members who've been raised in the United Church of Christ. You see, the struggle for justice and peace for all of God's children around this world has been at the heart of the history and tradition of our denomination. Prior to becoming the UCC in 1957 in Cleveland, our predecessor church, the Congregational Church, in the 19th century fought tirelessly for the rights of women and the abolition of slavery. And then in the 20th century, the United Church of Christ was on the forefront of struggles for justice and peace. The civil rights movement of the 1960s, the work to end the nuclear arms race, fighting for the rights of migrant farm workers who pick our food, keeping our television airwaves safe for children, and joining in the cause of immigration and refugee rights. On and on the list can go. The United Church of Christ is known for its witness, its courageous witness, on behalf of the least of these. And so the two passages that Susie will read, chosen for today, speaks of courage, commitment, generosity, kindness, faith, and ultimately the love that should be exemplified not only by individual Christians, but also by local congregations. And through these 60 years, I think it can be said that the UCC has humbly but boldly attempted to clothe itself with strength, compassion, courage, and love.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament in Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And from the New Testament in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. May God add his blessings to our understanding of this reading.
As we mentioned in the announcements and for our church members, as you've heard over the years that David and I have been your pastors, we both grew up in families where church was what you did on Sunday morning, no questions asked. So I grew up in a very faithful family. I also grew up in a family where I was taught to work hard, to be compassionate, and to be feisty. You heard me.
Oh, really?
I grew up in a family where I was taught to work hard, to be compassionate, and to stand up when no one else was standing, to speak up when no one else was speaking. It was great that I grew up in a family that taught me those values, but a church, that's what really cemented it for me. So when we were 9, we moved across Connecticut, across the state, and it was kind of a traumatic experience for me. I didn't want to move, and I was not happy about it, but my dad got a new job, so we moved. My mom and I went to the UCC church in our hometown, My mom's out there, so she can verify this. We came back, and I said, we can't go to that church. There just wasn't a good feeling. I don't know, as a 9-year-old little person, I couldn't describe it, but I told my mom that we needed to keep going to different churches. So we tried another church in the neighboring town, which actually happened to be in the same school district, so it was still like all the people I went to school with. That church was it. Because you know what? I was a weird kid and I was a weird teenager, but it taught me, that church, to work hard, to be compassionate, to care about the world, and to gosh darn it, to be feisty. When I was a freshman in high school, I decided, because I loved kids, that I wanted to teach church school, and I recruited my fellow peers to do it with me. They had never had a teenager teach church school before. But I remember in my church, in the church school where we were teaching, so here we are, whatever, 13, 14-year-olds, teaching these little second graders. We had a snack time, so the superintendent, the adult, would come with a tray with apple juice and Ritz crackers. And every time she came and we were teaching, she was smiling from ear to ear. She loved that there we were, these teenagers, giving up our Sunday mornings to teach the little guys. You could tell that that superintendent was so grateful. We felt welcomed, we felt accepted, we felt supported, and we loved teaching the little kids. And then I think when I was a junior, they were having at my home church like little forum thing on values and faith. And they asked me to talk at it. And I was just as proud could be, that they asked a teenager to talk about faith and values. Again, in my home, in my bedroom at home, were all these posters about standing up for what was right, even when no one else was standing. I was a feisty young person. And they asked me, and what I remember, I don't remember what I said, but I remember the hugs I got afterwards, the applause I got afterwards. I remember the affirmation. It was a place that I fit. It was a place, Middlefield Federated Church, that loved me and supported me and cherished me. I hope and pray that this church, First Church, is a place where young and old feel that support, feel that love, know that they are cherished.
Now, it may not seem this, but I've got a few years on Kate, so my life in the United Church of Christ is a little bit longer, but what we share, again, as she has said, just a common nurturing home church. So 50 years ago, in Central Church in Worcester, a large downtown church, like First Church, active church, mission programs, youth choir. I sang in the youth choir, played on the church basketball team. That was when they had church basketball leagues. We had mission trips with our youth. We went to Craigville, like our senior high does here, for the year-end retreat. We, as high schoolers, we would volunteer in downtown Hartford at school programs, after-school programs, tutoring, mentoring. And so that was a place that nurtured me, both as someone growing up in the faith, but nurtured me to understand that out there in the world, we have a calling as individuals and as a church, as a congregation. But then fast forward, we do want to hear, we're going to hear from Brett in about 1 minute, but my life in the United Church of Christ has been so rich. And one aspect of that richness was when this New England, Connecticut, Massachusetts boy who thought that New England Congregationalism was what United Church of Christ was all about, wrong. I went on national staff with United Church of Christ, and I traveled around this country on behalf of the Office of Church and Society. My boss was Yvonne Delk on the front cover. Yvonne Delk has preached from this pulpit, I guess about 10 years ago, one of the leading advocates for human rights, for racial justice. We had a crusade to have her become president of the United Church of Christ. Right next to her is Charles Cobb, who headed the Commission for Racial Justice. Our denomination since the 1950s has been on the forefront of fighting for racial justice. So those are just two mentors of mine, Yvonne and Charles. So as I traveled around our denomination, around this country, I got to see that we were African American, we were Native American, we were Pacific Islanders, we were Hispanic, we are a rich, diverse denomination, that together we are a beloved church that truly can make a difference in this world. And now Brett is going to share, he experienced a little bit of the breadth and the beauty and the diversity of our wonderful denomination. Brett, would you share with us?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Brett Schneider, and I recently got back from my trip to the UCC's 31st General Synod. For those of you who don't know what Synod is, it is a gathering of UCC members from all across the world. I met people from Hawaii, England, and even South Africa. I would like to thank this church for providing me with this opportunity, as it was truly life-changing. At the General Synod, we listened to many speakers, we went to an abstract art museum, and we watched the delegates argue and vote on several issues. Around 700 delegates were at this year's Synod, and they had to go to the worship hall a total of 8 times to vote on these issues. It was obvious that many of the delegates were exhausted after the final vote. One young female delegate even told me that she just wants a nap. Now think about what I just said. A female as a delegate for our church. Many of the delegates were women, although this is impossible in many other denominations. The UCC was the first denomination to ordain a woman, to ordain someone who was openly gay, and to advocate for same-sex marriage equality, and I think that deserves some applause. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. There's no quote better than that to describe our church. This was truly shown when I was at Synod, as I met many individuals who are gay, transgender, bisexual, and everywhere in between. One person who spoke was Miss Raven Rowe. She spoke about including gays and about equality. One point that she mentioned struck me hard. She was speaking with her gay friends once, and when she told them that she was a member of the UCC, many of them were surprised. They did not know that there was a church that accepted gays. These people did not know that there was a place for them in God's house. That is a problem that we need to solve. But it isn't enough for us to see that problem in the world. We need to do something about it. A prime example of this was in a speech made by our General Minister of Justice, Tracy Blackman. She spoke about Jean-Francois Gravelet, or better known as Blondie. He was the first man to tightrope across Niagara Falls, and after the first time, he wanted to do it better. He then walked across it blindfolded, then stopped in the middle to grill himself a hamburger, and then he walked across it without using his feet. I think we can agree that not all of these are true, but one lesson can be learned from this. Blondine then said he would cross it while pushing a wheelbarrow. Huge crowds gathered to watch him, and when he successfully did it, he asked the crowd, "Do you think I could do it with the person in the wheelbarrow?" Of course, the crowd responded with an enormous yes. But when he asked the crowd if any of them were willing to get in the wheelbarrow, none of them would. Even though they believed he could do it, none of them were willing to put themselves out there and risk it. That is why we need to believe things and then go out into the world and come together and do what we believe is right. Just another quote from Synod was by Reverend William Barber. He stated that it's a movement, not a moment. To solve our issues, only fighting against them once won't do much. But if we constantly oppose and constantly fight against it, the issue will eventually be solved. That's important to remember with everything in life. When Reverend Barber referred to this, he was referring to our fight against poverty. Giving a dollar to someone who is homeless could make their day better, but it is the fight for justice that will help them the most. There are many problems in our world today, so I want you to make your voice heard and fight for what you believe in. But at the same time, remember that you are a part of the most accepting denomination. When 130 members of the Methodist clergy came out as gay, they lost their job and their income. When we as the UCC hear that someone is gay, we only hold them tighter and love them more. And that is why I am proud to be a part of this church. I hope all of you go out into the world and spread God's love. I want us to get in the wheelbarrow, and I want us to make a difference.